The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
Today is a day where we celebrate interruptions. And no, I'm not talking about celebrating the latest COVID interruption. If you're celebrating that, I'm not. That's not what we're talking about today. Today we celebrate the most interrupted humans on the planet. We're celebrating moms. It's Mother's Day. And if you have forgotten, you better get your act together and do something about it, okay? Think about it. They're interrupted, and this has never become more apparent to me since COVID. I mean, I'm doing a lot more time at home. We're working at home, doing childcare, watching my kids, and it's great. And on Wednesdays, you know, when I have the kids, I can do just about anything I want. It's really interesting. I want to have a cup of coffee and sit down and quiet. I can have a cup of coffee and sit down and quiet. If I want to catch a little cat nap, I can cat nap in. I can even be in the kitchen and cook with music on and just enjoy it. And some afternoons, I don't even know where the kids are, if I'm honest. They don't seem to really care as much about dad being around, but it changes. 4:30 comes and it's like clockwork. Mom enters into the building and the children, they scurry from the different parts of the house and they find mom and they fix their attention on her. And it is like, mom, you are home. You better pay attention to us. And they follow her everywhere. I mean, everywhere. She goes to the bathroom and they follow her. If she does not lock the door, they're in there. She leaves the bathroom, they follow her. And all you have going on from this time forward till we eat and after supper is, mom, could you look at the craft I've made? Mom, can you get me a snack? Mom, would you read a book to me? Mom, I want mom to put me to bed. I want mom. Now, I've got young kids. And Julie's life is like interrupted all the time. Mine doesn't even come close. But this does not change for moms. You think about it. It goes on. The next season of life is, mom, I know it's 2 a.m., but are you awake? I really need to talk. After that season, it's mom, I know it's Friday night. And I hadn't told you this, but I got a lot of dirty laundry and I'm coming home for the weekend and I'm just hoping you can drop everything. Do my laundry. Make me meals. And then you would think after that season that it just gets better. Well, it doesn't. The next call is this. Mom, you know, we just got a lot on our plates and we need to get away for a few days, maybe 3 days, maybe 3 weeks. Can we just drop the kids off? And can you got nothing going on. Can you just take care of them for us? Interrupted. A mom's life is filled with interruptions. But I find myself grateful today to have been able to witness around me moms, and my mom included, who took the interruptions and actually made them fruitful, who embraced them. Because it's in the interruptions of life, in the unexpected, where we actually can find fruit. I mean, embracing interruptions is kind of Jesus's thing, if you think about it. He does his best work when he's interrupted. You go back to the Gospels and you look, he's got his plans, he's got his journey, he's got the things that he's gonna be doing. And all of a sudden he's interrupted. He's at a party and he is loving his life. Well, I'm sure he is. And they've run out of wine at this wedding. And his mom comes to him and says, yeah, now it's my turn to interrupt you. And she says, hey, could you help us here? Could you help us here? Could you get some wine for these people? And so Jesus takes water and he turns it into wine and lifts the shame of these people off this family who would have been great shame for running out of wine at their wedding. Then Jesus, he's with the disciples and he's like, guys, we're gonna take a break today. Let's get away to have some rest. And this crowd of people swarms around him, and he is interrupted on his day that he's going to take a break. It says Jesus had compassion on him. And that's the day that Jesus breaks a little bread and some fish and feeds 5,000. Or what about the time that he's in the middle of teaching and all of a sudden the roof starts getting ripped apart and his message is silenced and he's interrupted and a paralyzed man is brought before him and Jesus is able to bring him life. It is in the midst of interruptions that Jesus often does his best work. And so today, we're going to look at a passage of scripture. We're going to join Jesus in an interruption in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. If you got a Bible at home, you can flip there with us. And I'm going to read it for us. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about this piece of scripture. So here it is. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple, gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Where we find ourselves in the biblical story is the church. The church has just been born. And these early disciples' lives are being filled with change and interruptions. You know what I mean? Like, It's only months ago that Jesus has just left to go to heaven. It's only days ago that all of the sudden, the Holy Spirit has come on them and given them power to be witnesses, and they are able to do acts and works like we see here. There's change happening in their own hearts and lives. I mean, Peter a couple months ago was just denying Christ, and now he's got the boldness to proclaim God's word. In chapter 2, we're told that the gathering of believers, the people who consider themselves the followers of Christ, goes from 120 to 3,000 plus, all in just a couple of chapters. They are in the midst of change and interruptions. And in the midst of all this growth, in the midst of all this change, in the midst of all of these interruptions, what do we find? What do we find Peter and John doing? They're going up to the temple to pray. They go to the temple to pray. And I can't help but think about the logistics around that, right? You just had 3,000 people come to church yesterday. You got all these new people. How do you have time to pray? How do you got time for that? Isn't there a vision statement to be created? Isn't there strategic plans to work out? I mean, shouldn't you be calling Pastor Denise and figuring out how to set up a foundations class or get Alpha going to get things rolling, to disciple all these people? Why here do we find their response to change and interruption, to growth, to be go to pray. Because when we don't know what to do next, as followers of Jesus, we go up and we pray. When change or interruption enters our lives, whether it be good change or good interruption or bad change or bad interruption, our first response as followers of Christ is to go up to pray. And what is it that we pray? Well, what is it that they would have been praying? Well, they would have prayed what Jesus taught them to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yet, as I think about that, I think so often in my life, maybe you're like me, maybe you're not, when change happens around me, interruptions happen around me, my first response, my first way of acting is to do something based on how I feel, how the change of response impacts me. And my first response is to think about my kingdom, my desires, what I want. You know, this wasn't different for them. They've responded that way, actually. A couple months ago, they were on the Mount of Olives with Jesus, and they had a big interruption. Big interruption. The authorities came to take away their Jesus. A mob came to arrest Jesus. And Peter's first response, his gut instinct, when the authorities have done something that he does not agree with, nor does he like, is he pulls out his sword and he cuts off one of the authorities' ears. And Jesus looks at him and Jesus rebukes him. That's not my kingdom. That's not my will be done in this moment. And so, our first response in times of change or interruption is to go up and pray, asking Jesus for his kingdom to come and his will to be done in us. So when the government closes down our businesses, when the government pushes school to online, when the government slashes our outdoor gatherings in half, as followers of Christ, our first response is not to go for our sword. Our first response is to go up to the temple and to pray. To pray. To go to the bedroom and pray, to get the family together and pray, to ask Jesus that in the midst of the change and the interruptions, in spite of how we feel, that his kingdom would come and his will be done on earth as in heaven. And I wonder, I can't help but ask myself the question, ask the question, since Tuesday, as we've been impacted by the newest interruption, have we gone to pray? And before we go any further this morning, I recognize my need and my lack of going to pray in the midst of these changes and interruptions, because I'm prone to be like Peter. I want what my kingdom wants. I want the sword. I want to do different. But I recognize today that my first response needs to be go to pray. So I want to invite us this morning, as we get rolling, before we get any further in the text, Can we stop and let's pray. So I have a little prayer on the screen that I'm going to pray for us with a couple other things, and just admit our own weakness to do what we want. So would you pray with me? Jesus, forgive me when I have pursued my kingdom during this pandemic. And today, we ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth, in heaven, in me and through me. Jesus, we ask that you would do your best work in us in the midst of this interruption. That we'd be able to say no to our own desires, but yes to you. Lead us, Jesus. Lead us today. Amen. Well, our text picks up and Peter and John are on their way to ask for Jesus's kingdom to come and his will to be done. And something outrageous happens. The kingdom comes to them. I mean, they don't even get to the temple. They get stopped by a beggar outside the temple gates. The work of God happens outside the temple, in the street, in an unexpected place. Isn't that interesting today that none of you are in the church right now? You're not in the church. You're at home. And we know some of you are still in your PJs. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. But God's work often happens in the unexpected places. Yes, Jesus is here when we gather as a body in the church. But the power of Christ is with you today in your home. The work of Christ can show up in unexpected places. We expect to find Jesus in our churches, but do we expect to find him on the street outside the temple? Do we expect to find him in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces? And when we can't meet together, let us remember that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. That when two or more gather in the name of Jesus, there he is present with us. Do you expect right now, today, on your couch, by yourself, with your kids, do you expect for Jesus to meet you today like he met this beggar outside the temple? I sure hope so. I hope so. I mean, this guy, he's healed in an unexpected place, but also at an unexpected time. I mean, later in Acts, we're told that he is pushing 40. Okay, he's 40. And has been coming to this place every day, looking for money. Looking for a few bucks to survive. Every day coming, sitting, waiting for someone's generosity. And you know what we actually have to recognize is if this guy has been coming every day for the good part of 40 years, and he's been sitting in the exact place, you know what that tells us? On Jesus's many trips to the temple, he would have passed this guy. But those were not his days. That was not the day that Jesus has picked, but today is a day. Today is different. Jesus has something unexpected in store for him. I mean, he's just sitting there and he just wants some gold to buy some bread. And yet Jesus wants to give him the bread of life. He's just sitting there wanting some silver to be able to buy himself a drink. And yet here today, Jesus wants to give him living water that will quench his thirst forever. Every day he's come to beg. But today is the day of salvation. Just one day. Just one moment. Just one touch. Changes everything. And I've encountered this in the last month, actually being able to see this in somebody's life in our congregation. There's a man who's in our body who before, long ago, he served God really faithfully. I think it was even on a church staff. And through a series of events, as he was in his faithful service to the Lord, he got hurt. People did some unjust things. People did some unkind things. They treated him poorly. And he didn't believe in the church. And in his hurt, in the injustice of what happened, bitterness began to grow. Unforgiveness began to grow. Anger began to grow. And for years, he's been bound up. Bound up by this bitterness. And what was once a bright and vibrant faith now dwindled. It was almost completely snuffed out by unforgiveness. Until one day last month. Is that a prayer gathering with some guys? And one of the fellows came in and said, I just really feel like Jesus is calling us to pray for unforgiveness. To pray about the disunity around us. There is so much happening in the church right now where this group is angry at this group and this group is holding a grudge against this group or this person doesn't like this person. And we need to pray for unity that Jesus would restore and bring about forgiveness and a freshness. And so we started to pray. And this man was in the corner. And as we were praying, he started to be physically moved. No, he didn't cry. He was just moved. He started to be physically moved by what God was saying. And it was like Jesus said to him, today is the day I am going to set you free. Today is the day I am going to remove the bondage and the things that have wrapped you up inside. Today is the day of salvation. And as he was moved, he prayed. And in front of all of us, he confessed and repented of his bitterness, of his unforgiveness, of his grudges, and he asked Jesus that he would come anew on him. And it was like the Spirit of God tore open the heavens and said, yes, yes, I will draw near. Yes, I will make things new. And weeks after, it has been like the story of Acts. This guy is like he's walking and jumping and praising God. Not literally, which would be cool. But his smile's infectious, his demeanor's infectious. As we gather to pray on Mondays with him, it is like he inspires us because Jesus has done something new. Jesus has done something new. You see, all Jesus needs is one day. All Jesus needs is one day. Is today your day? You've been avoiding following Jesus. Maybe you've got a habit that's been ruling you. You've been living in fear, or you've been ignoring what Jesus has been speaking today to you. Today could be your day. You want to know, there's actually a prerequisite to it being your day though. You and I have to do something. And I don't know if there's a great picture that could help us with this. I don't know if any of you have ever seen The Office. You know, raise your hand. Yeah, okay. I'm not saying you should watch The Office. This is not a plug about The Office, but there's a story here that is really helpful for us to understand how it could be our day. And The Office is a TV show about around the main character. His name's Michael Scott, and he's a boss of like a paper selling company or something like that. And he's got all these employees and he's very incompetent. And you're meant to laugh at his incompetency, but one day he's having some pretty significant financial trouble. Okay, so life is not great. And he's in the lunchroom and he's talking with a guy named Creed. And Creed is saying, Michael, let me tell you what you need to do. I know the get out of jail free card for your finances, Michael. I know the one thing that will make all of your problems go away, Michael. Michael, all you gotta do is declare bankruptcy. Michael's sitting there and he's like, oh, are you kidding? I declare bankruptcy, it all goes away. And Creed's like, yeah, it all goes away. And so he steps out of the lunchroom into the office and he plants his feet and he looks at all of his staff and he says this, I declare bankruptcy. And the staff look at him like, you're an idiot, right? That isn't how you do it. There's a lot to it, a lot more to it than that. But in the kingdom of God, that's exactly how we do it. You know that today could be the day when you are willing to declare that you are spiritually bankrupt. When you're willing to enter into and say, I've got poverty of spirit. I don't have much more in the tank. I don't have what it takes to fight this thing. I don't have what it takes to move on. I don't have what it takes, period. Jesus, today, would you come? Today. And the beautiful part of this picture, when it comes to the kingdom of God, is it actually does not matter where you are at. Today could be your day. You could be in church leadership. You could have just gotten baptized last month and you've already backslid. You could be joining us for one of the first times online because someone invited you to tune in. With Jesus, it does not matter where you find yourself. All of it matters is the posture of your heart. Are you willing and ready to admit bankruptcy? And if you are, today could be the day. All Jesus needs is one day, is today yours. Why not you? And why not today? Is today the day that Jesus says, leave behind that sin? Is today the day that Jesus says, leave behind that life, leave behind that infirmity, leave behind that burden, and get up and walk. Follow me. Follow me. You know, as I read this story and continue on in the story, if you remove the names and location, this story could have happened here in Red Deer. I mean, you think about most of all of us have had an experience like this. You've headed somewhere, maybe even on your way to church, and someone stopped you and said, you got some change? You got any money? And yet, as I read the story and I thought about, like, what would have I done if I'm Peter or John? I was brought back to lots of memory where my response has been this. I mean, you do this too. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I got nothing, man. And this could have easily been Peter and John's response because they didn't have any money. They could have just walked off to the temple. They could have just walked and gone to pray. But it's not how it goes. They are not thinking about what they don't have. They are not thinking about what they are lacking. When people are coming to them, their first response is, actually, I got something else. And I'm reminded as I read this text in light of our season, that it is easy for us to be distracted from the mission of Jesus by thinking about what we don't have, by thinking about what we lack. We lack money. Maybe we lack the fact that we can't gather with people. We lack the fact that when we go out in public, we can't see people's faces and we can't read their expressions. Our lives are so full of restrictions, and yet Peter and John are not focused on what are the restrictions. They're focused on what they do have. Dwelling inside of them is something that transcends all restrictions. Living in them is abundant life. Living in them is the power of Christ. And so they say, silver and gold we don't have, but we have the power of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. As I think about that, I think, okay, how do we this week not allow the restrictions to keep us from being on mission to love our neighbor? And do you notice where this power comes from? It's because of the name of Jesus. It isn't because these guys are such great followers. It isn't because they're so holy. It's not even because they have a great track record. You got to remember the story. That's why it's so important that we know the collective story. It was only a couple months ago that Peter, in front of lots of people, said, "I don't even know Jesus. I don't want anything to do with him." So the power to do this miracle doesn't come from Peter, but it comes from his trust and dependence on the person of Jesus. You see, the fact of it is that every follower of Jesus, whether you are at home right now and you are 7 years old, or you're in a lodge somewhere and you are 78, it does not matter your age. It does not matter your past. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. It doesn't matter if you think you're the most gifted person or you feel like you have no IQ. The power of Jesus is in you. If you have surrendered your life to Christ, if you have chosen to make him king, he has given you power. It isn't because we deserve it. The scripture says the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in us, and we all have access to this power. And a couple weeks ago, Dan was actually talking about this similar thing. And I sat in church with some of you, and I thought to myself, oh, Dan, I want more of that power in my life. I want more of that power so that I can help bring hope to people in Red Deer. And I felt like when he said that, and as I prepared this message, I felt like, oh, man, my life often doesn't feel like it has very much power. Jesus, would you do something in me? And you, I sense Jesus say, sense what Jesus said to me, and I think he would say it to all of us, is you actually have it. You're just not spending it. You've got it. You're not spending it. You see, it's impossible to access the power of Christ if we don't take risks to use it. It's impossible to walk in the power of Christ, to walk in the Holy Spirit who he's given us, if we're doing everything in our own strength and nothing requires us to take any risk. It's impossible. It's impossible to walk in the power of Christ if we're not looking to make Jesus' name great. It's like, really like walking around with a 50 in our pocket. I got a 50 in my pocket. And I can think about the 50, and I can dream about the 50, I can talk about the 50. I can tell people what I'm gonna do with the 50. But the 50 has no power until I actually pull it out and use it. Let me give you an example. I went to Tim Hortons this morning. I wasn't expecting this to be how it was going to work out. I knew I was going to have this 50 in my pocket. Tim Hortons at the drive-thru, one of those terrible signs. It's like your worst day ever when you pull up and it's like cash only. And you go, oh my goodness, you're the worst. You should give me free coffee this morning because this is your fault. And I show up to Tim Hortons this morning, it's cash only, and all I got is this 50 in my pocket. And I need it for this illustration. And so I didn't have any money to get my breakfast sandwich. You see, that is the part of what is going on here is we've got 50s in our pockets. We got 50s in our pockets and we've got the power of Christ in our pockets. But the only way we will see the power of Christ activated in our lives and in those around us, if we actually decide to pull the 50s out and use them. And use them. People don't get healed if you don't take a risk and pray. Prayer doesn't get answered if you don't actually utter and talk to God about it, maybe even out loud. Jesus wants us to actually mention some things out loud, talk out loud what we want his kingdom to come. People don't come to know Jesus. My friends and neighbors don't come to know Jesus or know about his goodness and greatness if I don't pull out the 50 and invite them to know what Jesus has done. The power of Christ dwells in us. But the only way we're gonna see it is if we pull out the 50s. The power of the Holy Spirit is useless if we don't utilize it. We got some spending to do. Central Alberta needs your 50s. Needs us to be thinking about how we can use the power of Christ. I want to close just with this one final thought from this text, because I said that if, you know, we remove names and places, it would feel like this is Red Deer, except for there probably is one really significant change and one difference for all of us. And that difference is this. We could pass the beggar on the street and he could ask us for money. And unlike Peter and John, we could tell him, we've got both. We've got both. We have money for the majority of us, and we have the power of Jesus to help him. Jesus has put us in a very privileged position in Red Deer. We have been given abundance. We have homes, we have cars, we have liquid income. Together we have resources galore. But we also have the power of Jesus to set people free. This is why our vision says that we want to give everyone in Central Alberta an opportunity to know Christ and by following him compassionately impact our world. The mandate for a church is to offer the world both silver and gold. And the power of Christ. We offer both. Offer outrageous generosity and the power of Christ. This is how we are meant to live. I heard a story this last little while of a man in our congregation. They've been doing this. They've been offering both. There's a guy who in the last couple months has just been swept into the kingdom. All of a sudden, his whole life got turned around. Jesus did a new work and he looks different. It's like he is a completely different being. And someone's been walking with him and this family's been walking with him and giving him the power of Christ. But in his past life, this guy's past life, he made some bad decisions. And the reason, I just want to pause here. The reason why I call it his past life is because anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We have the opportunity to be new. And so this guy, he's got a new life, but his past life has some things and he accumulated a lot of debt. And he owes the government some money on some things. And this family that has been walking with him and has been giving him and sharing with him the power of Christ said this. They said, silver and gold, we do have. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And you know what they did? They said, we're gonna pay it all. We are going to pay it all. All of the fines, we'll wipe it new so that you can start afresh and start new. We are going to offer you both. And so they paid off his debt. As Crossroads Church, we say to our community, we have silver and gold, so take some. but can we also offer you the power of Jesus? We've been commissioned as a church to give the world both. Is your life in Central Alberta offering both? Does Jesus have access to your resources? And I'm not talking, this is not a gimmick where I'm trying to get you, you know, we need to tithe more. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we are out in our community and when we are in Central Alberta and we're doing life and business, does Jesus have access to both? Because there are works of Christ happening all over our city that are waiting for people to come along and say, silver and gold I have. There's a dream center going in downtown that wants to bring hope and healing to our city in the name of Jesus, through the power of Jesus. And they're just waiting for some people to come along and say, silver and gold I have. Let it be added to these people being healed in Jesus' name. There are other works throughout the city. You have neighbors, you have friends who have needs because of what has happened in the pandemic. Does Jesus have access to your silver and gold to bring help along with Jesus's help in their life? Peter and John were interrupted on their way to the temple, and that interruption changed the man's life forever. This week, we have been interrupted with new restrictions that are quite devastating. But we're reminded this morning that Jesus often does his best work in the midst of interruptions. This week, we can't gather like we usually do. But we're reminded that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. And the story tells us today that the power of Jesus does not occur inside the church in this story, but in our everyday lives, as we walk and as we go to work and as we spend time in our neighborhoods and in our homes, that we can expect the power of Christ to show up and do something new. Will we take the challenge from the story and look for those interruptions? Look to be interrupted by Jesus this week. And when anyone asks, to be able to say, actually, I have silver and gold, but I also have the power of Christ in my pocket, and I'm gonna spend it on you today. Will we look not to be distracted by what we don't have right now, but will we pay attention to the power of Christ that is living in us, that is able to give life to people around us? Or maybe today, as we close, you just recognize, and as we've gone through the story, you realize that something on the journey has crippled you like this beggar. And today is the day. You're sitting there at home and you're thinking, I wonder if today is the day. Let me tell you, today could be the day. Today could be the day if you will declare bankruptcy, that Jesus would come and enter into your pain, enter into your infirmity, enter into the challenge you've had, and he would walk with you. And I get the picture for you at home that is almost as if, for those of you who are in that place, it's almost as if in this story, as Peter reaches down and helps the man up, that today Jesus wants to reach down and he wants to help you up and say, get up and walk, leave that behind. Fix your eyes on me. Let me pray for us, and we invite the worship team to come up and sing a song over us and a song for us to respond. So let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for how your word speaks to us. And we ask today that you would take your word, the things from your word, and that you would plant it in our hearts. And that we would know you a little bit more today. And that the power of Christ would rise up in us. In Jesus' name, amen.